entrepreneurship, small business creation, home ownership, and collaboration have always been the backbone of our local economies. With all of that under threat and communities fighting against further division, Conversation Mill turns on the mic for everyday difference makers in our local communities. Whether they be farmers, mayors, builders, creators, or doers. Every week, join me, Rebecca Dale, here in Conversation. My conversation today is with real estate agent extraordinaire Stephanie Berger. Stephanie is crushing the referral lead generation strategy. And I know this because she was originally referred to us when we found a house here in Greenville, South Carolina. And now we refer her anytime someone mentions homes or housing. I think strangers have said, no, we're not looking, we're just talking about the housing market, to which my partner and I will reply, but when you do decide to buy or sell, you have to use Stephanie. That's how easy Stephanie made our home buying process. So much so that we want people to just buy a house so they can experience how easy she makes the process, whether they're looking for a house or not. And what an incredible business lesson that is. Provide an impeccable service, be kind and genuine, and your customer acquisition cost can be zero. But that's not the only business lesson in what Stephanie shares in our conversation today. She also stresses the importance of building your brand and more. It seems like no matter the state, the city, the county, housing is a hot topic. Inventories are low. Investors are gobbling up affordable, flippable properties. And some, like me, have been close to giving up or given up the home search altogether, feeling discouraged by cash offers. Steffi and I chat about this, but while we could focus on this frustrating part of finding a home or looking for investment property, there is hope in what Stephanie shares. People are looking for community. People want to know their neighbors and form friendships. Perhaps the pendulum of division is starting to swing back. The isolation of pre-COVID and living our life online, to the forced isolation of COVID, to the political and cultural division stoked throughout COVID and into this election cycle, maybe that is finally too much for us. We don't need to lay low at home anymore. We're starting to pay attention to the studies telling us that we're lonely and depressed because we're trying to figure out why we're lonely and depressed. We feel unsafe, and building a community of neighbors solves those problems, or at least greatly reduces them. So join us now in conversation for some hope, some realtor best practices, and some honest talk about the state of housing here in Greenville and beyond. Do you mind sharing how long you've been in real estate and what brought you to real estate?
I have been in real estate for 10 years.
Okay.
So January of this year was 10 years. I got into real estate for a couple different reasons. I had a horrible home selling experience when I sold my house. And after that transaction, I remember looking at my husband going, I could do that so much better. Didn't dive in at that point. And then kind of hopped into different careers, banking, you know, securities, and decided I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That did not work for me. So I said, well, let me make my own hours and be part-time and I'll go and be a real estate agent now.
Yeah.
And that is not what real estate is. You do not make your own hours and it is not part-time. So, but it's very rewarding.
That's a really good note. And I had that later on to ask you, but since we're talking about it right now, let's just talk about it. What qualities are required? Because it's not and I have another question, like, we're all joking around about how everybody's selling houses now.
Yes.
But not everybody is successful at it.
No, no. So it is a people business. You have to have some tenacity to do this. It's long hours. It's a lot of behind the scenes that people don't see and you're not supposed to see. It can sometimes be soul draining just when you're trying to juggle all of the different things that are going on. Qualities is people person, you know, business minded, thinking outside the box because not every deal is the same, and just trying to, you know, bring everyone to the same common goal, which is to get to the closing table.
And you're doing so much on social media and you're a brand. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's a whole nother skill set too, of being willing to understand that you have to create, like, your name's going to be your brand.
Correct. So I, early in my career, I read a quote by Jay Danzy, I believe, and it said, your smile is your logo, your business card, all that little quote.
Yeah.
And I took that to heart and I said, you know, my face and my voice is my brand. So I need to be out here making sure that I'm doing this the right way. I'm aligning with a company that shares the same brand values that I do. But yes, brand is key. I mean, I want people to, when they hear Stephanie Berger, they go, oh, real estate. Or if they hear, you know, I need a realtor, oh, well, you have to call Stephanie. So that's just kind of one of the things that you set yourself apart.
Were you living here in Greenville when you started in real estate?
Yes, I've been here since 1996.
Okay. Where are you originally from?
So I'm originally from Augusta, Georgia. Okay. Moved here when I was 14. So basically, Greenville is my where I call home. But moved here when I was 14, finished high school here. So I've watched the upstate grow from being super, super small to the way that it is today.
I mean,
it is thriving.
With that said, are you seeing more out-of-town people buying homes?
Okay. Yes, we have an influx of Northerners coming here, people from out west coming here. They're escaping the high taxes. They're escaping the big cities because to them, this isn't a big city.
Right.
So we are seeing a lot of out-of-towners. We keep making all the lists. So
yes,
they keep coming
do.
Here. Yeah. So, but yes, we definitely see a lot of retirees, even people who have been working remote and now have the option to live anywhere.
Yes.
They're coming here because they get best of both worlds. They're mountains, beach, international airport. So it's kind of just a little treasure.
When you talk to people working in other markets, what are some of the glaring differences maybe that they're encountering than what you're dealing with here in Greenville?
So different markets are seeing different things. So some markets are seeing longer days on market. They're seeing, some people are seeing foreclosures. It just depends on the state and the city that it's in. But everyone is still seeing, the ones that I talk to in the Southeast are definitely seeing, you know, multiple offers and people flocking there. It's still highly desired to get south.
Yeah. What are buyers that are coming from out of state asking you? Like, what are they really interested in? Is it location? Is it, hey, is the infrastructure going to be able to handle all of us moving here? That's always my question.
Yeah.
When I go over certain bridges, I'm like, maybe we should fix this before we sell any more homes.
Yes. So that's always been, I think Greenville has done a good job with the growth. They continue to try. We move so quickly here, people coming. Most of the time, local out-of-towners that are coming to me, they're just wanting some space. They're wanting, you know, maybe not so many rules and regulations from the big homeowners associations that they've come from.
Yes.
They're just wanting, you know, just to have a little bit of greenery, and they're wanting to feel community. I mean, they're wanting to know their neighbors, and they're wanting to have relationships and friends. So I've never had anyone say the infrastructure. The one thing that they do tell me, and they always joke about, is, well, anyone that I know that lives here says that I should stay away from Woodruff Road. And I just go, no, you don't need to stay away from it. It's, you just have to know how to work it. So
no, you just have to go while everybody else is at church.
Yeah. That's exactly, or live on it like me.
Yeah.
And know the back ways. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. So kind of resetting here, there's a lot of real estate voices out there. And I feel like when I'm listening to different podcasts, I'm listening to the news, mm-hmm. anything I turn mm-hmm. on, somebody's talking about real estate mm-hmm. or home ownership. Mm-hmm. What voices do you listen to? Who are your go-to sources for information? Because you're living it and you're yes. making your career off of this.
So the one thing I don't do is I don't listen to the news. Mm. But I do read a lot of real estate little blurbs and things from like realtor.com. I really rely on my brokerage, Coldwell Banker Kane, to deliver, market trends and what we're seeing in the upstate and across the country. I love to listen to other big names. There's, the agency in California and Glenda Baker in Atlanta. I like to listen to their stuff to see what they're seeing. But I just basically try to stay away from the news and yeah. just kind of stay in my little bubble here.
Speaking of that, there's some people that are like doomsdaying mm-hmm. the housing market. Well, doomsdaying everything, right? The
yes.
economy, the stock market. Worried it's going to be as bad as 2008, saying it's going to be worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you calm fears, I guess? Because you might not have the answer. No one really yeah. has the answer till it happens, right?
Yes.
We can predict. But I'm sure buyers and sellers are like, should I do it now?
Yes.
Should I do it next? Should I wait? Should I
yes.
wait for interest rates for this, that? Like,
yes.
unless you're lucky enough to have us that are just like, we need a house.
Today.
And it has to be this one.
It has to be
in
this
24
one.
Hours.
Today.
Can you make that happen?
Yes. Yes, we can make that happen. I think that in every market through, for the last 100 years has ebbs and flows. So there's mm-hmm. highs and there's lows. There's going to be some good times and there's going to be some bad times. The one thing that we're in right now that we weren't in for 08 is lending is not crazy like it was in 05, 06, 07. Mm-hmm. You just had to have a pulse to get a mortgage back then.
Right.
And now, as you guys know, you have to go through the ringers to get a mortgage. Mm-hmm. We don't have any inventory. We have zero supply. So average days on market are very low. Mm-hmm. And until we can kind of get that leveled out, we won't see that. And Greenville is one of those little protected bubbles. We don't really get hit hard with recessions. Which is kind of nice. But with back to the supply and demand thing, even, as these interest rates are kind of high right now,
mm-hmm.
They're higher than they were, 3 years ago.
Right.
But we're seeing it kind of teeter-totter a little bit where interest rates are kind of ticking down a little bit while the prices of houses are going up. So it's a supply and demand. I don't see a recession, but mm-hmm. like you said, I'm not a forecaster of any kind. It's just one of those ebbs and flows of the market.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of people asking you about that with fears?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have a lot of people that say, I really want to sell my house, but I'm scared to go to something more expensive because what if, it all breaks loose and, we foreclose. And I always kind of make a little joke of, but what if you go out and get hit by a train tomorrow? You don't know.
yeah.
So if you want to move, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
If you want to buy, let's make it happen. And we just kind of try to calm the fears like that. I don't have too many of them. The more that I get is, hey, I have a 2% interest rate. I really want to take that with me.
Mm.
Where am I going that is worthwhile to me to be willing to pay the 6.5% interest rates?
Right. It's a good reminder to live for today.
Today. Yes.
For now. We
yes.
just can't.
Seize
like,
the day.
Yeah. Worry is not going to help us down the road or
no.
make the right decision.
No, not at all. Not at all. Real estate is still the best investment.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. And I don't know if this is a controversial question or not. As she leaves the room. No. I'll just speak for myself, right? Like, we would love to invest mm-hmm. in real estate. We actually tried to do that beginning of and during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Many people did try to do that. They had the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
They were home. They could talk to their partners about things. They
yes.
could make those decisions. Our story was every single house we called on before we could even go see it, or before we could even make an offer sight unseen, someone had already offered cash for.
Yes.
And I would, there's a little bit of confession for me, a little bit of therapy.
Yeah.
I would get off the phone and I would just be like, but who has that cash? We have worked our whole lives full time, excelled, ran companies. Like, we've done big things. We've made good money. Mm-hmm. We've saved money. We have good credit. And I can't get a house. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so demoralizing. Mm-hmm. And then the more you hear talk about hedge funds buying up homes through other companies, mm-hmm. and now they're renting them and they're not selling them. I don't know how I want to phrase this question. I guess I could just like leave it there and let you pick up. Mm-hmm. But I guess, is that something that we should start combating? Is it something that when we talk to lawmakers, we should be like, we need to bust this stuff up? Or is this an overblown fear?
I think it's a combination of both. Unfortunately, so you're talking about when you were trying to buy in the pandemic. During the pandemic time, there were a lot of people, you know, from all over the country that were, you know, had sold their houses for top dollar mm-hmm. other places and coming here and buying $150,000, $200,000 houses for cash was chump change to them.
Right.
Fast forward, you know, we're out of the pandemic and, you know, 4 years later, there are corporations that have come in, are continuing to come in and, you know, buying up these houses sight unseen with nothing, giving almost top dollar or even over top dollar so they can hold them as a rental. I don't know where we are with this. I mean, mm-hmm. it is still happening. It happens here through a different company. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of scary situation mm-hmm. of, you know, regular people trying to buy a home, trying to compete with cash all the time. And it's scary.
Mm-hmm. And here, like you said, we do have a very small supply mm-hmm. of houses on the market. Mm-hmm. Either what we run into a lot is either they're total almost teardowns mm-hmm. and rebuilds,
yep.
or they're just out of our price range for a first investment.
There's
home.
No cash flow on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That is exactly what you're seeing a lot of. They're either, you know, completely tear downs and you're still paying top dollar for it because yeah. of the piece of dirt that it's on. Or, you know, you're just, your margins are so low on it. You know, you're going to put all this money into it. You may make $5,000 after 6 months and mm-hmm. that's just not a lot of money anymore. So if you want to buy and hold with the interest rates that they are now, it just, buying the home with at the 7 and 7.5% for investors, it doesn't cash flow. So right. we're kind of at that. We don't have the cash. These people have the cash. Mm-hmm. And rent prices are continuously rising every day. It's just one of those things that we can't control right this moment.
Right.
I think we should, but we can't.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the firm that you work for and why you chose to work who you work with versus another company.
So I did not start with Coldwell Banker. Okay. I moved to Coldwell Banker in 2019. I chose going to Coldwell Banker Kane because of the leadership. They have an extreme professional brokerage team. I was at a point in my career where I needed that professionalism and I needed strong leaders to guide me to get me to the next level. Their training, their technology, their spaces, everything is first class. The agents that you work with, they're all top notch. And I feel like you deserve the best when you work with me. So I wanted to surround myself with the best. And I can truly say in the 5 years that I've been there, it has been life-changing and the best firm in Greenville.
What is the best experience? Like, what should we be expecting?
It should feel fun. It shouldn't be stressful when you buy a house. You should get the little butterflies when you're selling. I mean, when you're looking at your house to buy, you shouldn't be sitting around wondering, well, what do I have to do? It should already be answered before you have to ask it. When you sell the house, it should feel like I barely had to do anything, and everything was top-notch. Communication was key. You shouldn't be asking me questions. You should already know the answers because I've told you them already. Mm-hmm. I should be two steps ahead of you at all times.
I can vouch that you were.
Even with a time difference. Yeah. Yes.
Even with a six-hour time difference.
Yes. And lots of travels. I tried to be.
Kind of following along this line of not only expecting the best, but talking about, you know, home ownership and the ability to buy a home and the sense of pride that that instills in somebody, and the idea of setting up and forming a community in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. How does that factor into, one, sort of your mentality going into helping people find that home? Mm-hmm. But also, you mentioned it early on that people moving here are wanting more of that. Mm-hmm. What are those conversations like? Like, are they literally saying, like, oh, I'm starved for connection and I want to know my neighbors and where I lived, no one talks to? Oh,
yes, they will. I have a little questionnaire that I send buyers, and they will say, I want book clubs, I want wine clubs, I want to be able to go across the street and have a glass of wine with my neighbor and not feel that I'm, you know, intruding. Mm-hmm. They're looking for that community. It used to be, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people wanted to drive in their driveways, get out of the car, and not know their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And now people want the relationships. They travel together. They want to be best friends with their neighbors.
That makes me so excited, because if you have that, then you have strong local economies, because then people support the small business owner because their neighbor is a small business owner. Then they tell somebody else. Mm-hmm. But when we just have the, like, pull into our garage,
get out, close the door, and I'm guilty. I was guilty of that. So I just moved in September, and I was that person. And in my job, I was that person. I would literally pull into the driveway, go into the garage, shut the garage, and go in. And was kind of, you know, I would go in the backyard, but I really didn't want to be. It was exhausting to be around people. And now I'm in a new community that is spectacular. I mean, there every week it's a bunko or a book club, or let's go for a walk. And tonight they're doing, you know, just drop in at this friend's house for just a drink or just something, just to, you know, say hello. And they are shopping small. I mean, they want to know, what do you do? What does your best friend do? What is this? And they go and they visit those small businesses. So you're exactly right on that community.
Yeah. That just, like I said, it just gives me so much hope, because I'm really worried that eventually we're just going to be buying from three or four people, essentially, because everything's going to be owned.
Yes, that is exactly right.
And that leads to fracturing of community.
Uh-huh.
Because we can just sit in our home and get the one thing. You can sit in your home
and get a thing you need, get it shipped to your house, and you don't need to go out. But it is definitely, I think it depends on the community you live in, but people moving here and your younger generation growing up, they want community. Mm-hmm. I've sold a lot of houses to, you know, the Gen Z crowd, and they love the idea of, you know, tailgates and the driveways. I mean, they love that. They're excited by that. It's different now.
We have been trying to meet all our neighbors, you know, and one of our neighbors stopped over one night, and they're like, you can come over anytime. We're like, okay. Just be careful what you ask for.
We will. Yeah. Yes.
And we ended up going over there for the Super Bowl.
Yes. I love that.
And it's a cross-cultural connection too, which we love, because we got to have food we don't normally have in our house and have drinks we don't normally have and laugh about things that we wouldn't normally laugh about. So man, I'm so glad to hear that it's not just us,
because
sometimes
it
feels like
you're the only ones wanting to have the community in your neighborhood. No. It is definitely, that's what people are searching for. I just had a buyer last week come to me, and they relocated here from Florida a few years ago. And now, you know, their number one thing is, we want community. We want the trick-or-treaters in the neighborhood, and we want, you know, the friends wanting to do, you know, go for a run. We want that. That is number one to us. So it's awesome. Definitely important.
What is it about Greenville that brings that type of person here Is it something in the history of the upstate or?
I don't think that it's that. I think that it's, you know, location. So you can be to Atlanta. You can be to Charlotte. You have an international airport. You can go to the mountains. We have the Swamp Rabbit. You know, the beach is 3 hours away. I think that it's just a little bit of combination of everything. And then people, you know, they read all these articles and they see our Main Street.
Yeah.
And you come here and it's a Hallmark movie. I mean, yeah. It is absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah.
Anytime I have family, you know, who come to visit, we have to go to Main Street. I have to show you our downtown. It's amazing. And it's the best thing. And you've got little pockets of communities everywhere. And it's just, I love it. It's my own little piece of the pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love it too. I mean, we, you know, location-wise, it was perfect for us from the Midwest where we're from and Florida where we have family. And so this is a perfect place to be like, we can get there and we can get there.
No snow.
Yeah, no
Not
snow.
Not deathly hot.
Yep.
We get all four seasons. That's what I tell all of my clients. We get all four seasons. You could get them in a day, but we have all four seasons.
We got two seasons today.
Yeah. It was freezing this morning. And today it's 80. Yeah. Now it's 80. Yes. So I think that people are just attracted to, it still feels small. Mm-hmm. And Greenville is still a small town. I mean, everyone is connected somehow or another. And we know each other and, you know, you went to school with so-and-so and it's just, it still feels small. It doesn't feel like, you know, an Atlanta or a Charlotte. It still feels small in community. And, you know, you've got the local restaurants and it's just, it's a good little slice.
I will say, having moved here and luckily kind of having some built-in friends, they and we, I think, contribute to, hey, we're doing this weekend. Who wants to show up? Hey, I think you might like this person and they're having a party and they said I could invite some people. Do you want to come? And it's been this really cool experience of meeting just the neatest people and forming relationships that even now it's like, oh, the person that introduced me to this person, I don't see as much, but now I see
this person.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. I mean, it's so funny how it works and how you're meeting people and the community. I mean, it's huge. It's a community of, you know, my husband, for instance, is a huge golfer and he goes and meets people from all over the place golfing and comes back and there's community and he starts talking about them and, oh, I know that person. I know that. It's just so small how it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, it's nice. And there's always something to do.
Yeah, that's very
true. There's always something to do. Some kind of festival, something going on. There's something to do.
Yeah. Well, I think we've sold Greenville now.
Yes, we have. Move to Greenville. Call me.
And a lot of people are joking about the, like, I was just at Business and Brews this week at Smiley's on the Rocks.
Yeah.
And Heath from Visit Greenville was speaking and somebody asked the question like, are you just bringing tourists to come visit or are you bringing them to stay? And you could tell the question was not like, please tell them to stay.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, the answer was really great of like, well, you know, tourism does benefit all of our local small businesses, which is a no-brainer. But then when that fear comes in of, but are we going to lose that small town? You do know a lot of people or you run into people that you know at the park. Like, are we going to lose that intimacy that we have? Or are we going to lose that community because too many people from these other places come?
I don't think we could. I mean, we, as much as many people move here, we still have so many corporations here, you know, manufacturing and textile and everything that still continue to move people out. So there's always a moving and a going. And I don't think we could ever lose that. And if we do, it's 30, 40 years down the road. I mean, I've been here since 1996 and seen the change. It's definitely grown a lot, but it's grown in a good way. We've brought things here that weren't here when I moved here. It's changed for the better. So I definitely think that it could change, but it would change for the better.
What would you say to a real estate agent in another kind of up and coming place? I think Greenville, we're already there. We're not up and coming anymore.
Yeah. Like, we're there. We're number four on lists.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
We've arrived. But if you're in a market that has that potential to expand, and you're going, oh, we don't have that much community, or we're still like, neighbors are still like just driving into their garages, right? Like they're hearing this and they're going, yeah, I we want that. Where do they start? Like, where do you see your role, I guess, in that community building? And where would you say, hey, maybe start here?
That's a hard question. I would say get involved, like get people involved, you know, host a, you know, fundraising barbecue for the local animal shelter. Just get people in the community out and about, you know, intermingling together, social media. I mean, TikTok is huge, you know, make a TikTok about what you're doing, but just, you know, hold a fundraiser for something and just, you know, invite people into it. People will start to come out, I guess, of their shell. But I guess it's also good to have a good city planner that can help with, you know, the things that are going, the things to bring, the festivals to bring, farmers markets, all of those things. So it's kind of a hard question on where to start for that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't start this, but I will definitely ride the wave of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely just, I would get out and, you know, even if it's just your neighborhood, you know, if you live in a neighborhood of 50 houses, you know, get them involved, get them together, community yard sales, have an ice cream truck, get people talking.
Yeah. How do we, in your opinion, keep riding this wave of community with technologies advancing so much and the ability to use ChatGPT to write a caption for an Instagram post to save yourself time, which is amazing. Like, work smarter, not harder, right? Yeah. But those things can also keep us in front of a screen and disconnected. Yes. And we're having this great renaissance of community. How do we keep riding that wave?
So ChatGPT is not something that I've ever used. I have a social media person who knows me, knows my voice, because the one time that she did try to use ChatGPT, it wasn't me. It didn't sound like me. So I think that Greenville is still one of those very engaged places, you know, with the trails and the Artisphere and Euphoria. People are still coming out. And I don't think that those could ever get techie to where people wouldn't flock to those.
Right.
It's just getting people out and, you know, the Business and Brews and doing those. I mean, those used to be packed houses. And I hear they're not as packed as they used to be.
This one was actually pretty packed. I mean, it was loud and great in there. There was a lot of people.
Good.
Yeah, I think they're coming back. Yeah.
Well, that's good. So that means that people are getting out of the doors and wanting to meet people. And I think that will be fine. Greenville's a little bubble, like I said.
Yeah.
People are just friendly here.
Let's talk about home. Okay. Because when we think about, we're talking about selling houses, but we're selling homes. Yes, we did talk about investment properties, right? But for most people, we're looking for that feeling of home. Whether we're whether it's somebody who's moving back here who grew up here and is now moving back and everything's changed, or whether it's someone like us that's like, we want a home base that we can just go walk in the front door after traveling and fall on the couch and have that like warm feeling.
What's home?
Yeah. What's home to you?
So home to me is every day for me. It's my family and, of course, my dogs. But I recognize that it's different for everyone. So you have to listen to people. If you listen to them, they'll pretty quickly tell you what their home is. So for you, it's after traveling, you know, the country, you want somewhere to come in, fall in, and be. So it's home means different to everyone. So for me, home is my family and my dogs. That's home, wherever they are.
Yeah, we can't forget about the dogs.
Yeah,
I mean, we just joined Taco's Trotters.
I know, for the Mutch Trot.
Yeah.
He's going to be a little celebrity.
And that's a perfect example of what you're saying of get involved in your community, putting together a team for a fundraiser for the Humane Society here and inviting your clients to be part of it or anybody who follows you on social media.
Yes. Humane Society is a huge thing for me. I'm a huge component of donor of the Humane Society. My animals have always been my joy. So I want to give back to them in any way that I can. So Taco is my dog, and he's just, you know, the face of my social media these days. So we decided we would walk with him to raise money for the Humane Society and the Mutch Strut.
This isn't home related, but I think it's important to talk about the Greenville Humane Society. I was reading the about And remind me, because I'm probably going to get this wrong, second largest no-kill? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah. In is
second
that
no-kill.
Wow.
And that's very important to me. Mm-hmm. And they're always, you know, getting fosters out. You know, there's a lot of fosters in the upstate. We could use a lot more of them. But they will place these dogs. They just have huge hearts over there, and it's great. They get them perfect little homes.
I love that. Before we wrap up, there's just two more questions I want to ask you. One is, what would be your number one piece of advice to someone who's like, I'm getting into real estate, I'm all in, I have an entrepreneurial mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, you're my coach. What's the number one thing you could tell me to be ready for before I get into this?
Be prepared for long nights, work hard, take the abuse, because it's going to be really, really hard. And just strap up and ride the wave, because it is every day is a different day, and just be ready to go with the flow.
Okay, I lied. Three questions, because I want to ask a follow up to what you said. How do you cope with that stress of the job, whether it's long nights or the abuse? You also have a family,
mm-hmm.
so you got responsibilities mm-hmm. and stresses at home and kids. Mm-hmm. How do you compartmentalize that, or how do you deal with all of that?
So I have a really good work-life balance. It took me a long time to figure out this work-life balance, but I had a wonderful broker early in my career, and she knew my type A, need to handle everything kind of personality. And she gave me some advice and said, you need to put your phone on Do Not Disturb every night at 8 o'clock. There is nothing that you can handle after that time. You need to be present with your family. And I am very present for my family when they need me. I will put an appointment for my kids or my husband at any time. I also realized that I couldn't take things so personal. Mm. So there might be, you know, water in the crawl space, and, you know, we're not going to close tomorrow. It's, you know, terrible, but I can't fix everything right that moment. And there's no point in me worrying myself to death. Mm. It's fixable. We will get it handled, and not to stress out over the small things. Mm. And also having a great support system. I have a wonderful husband who lets me vent when I need to vent and keeps me in check when I need to be kept in check of, okay, bring it down a little bit. Remember, you know, you're human too, and they're human.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. Good work-life balance.
That's mm-hmm. so important.
Yes. Take the trips, read the books, watch the movies, eat the bad food, drink the wine. Yes.
You heard it here.
Yes. Do the things.
One question that I ask all of our guests,
yes,
when we wrap up is, if you could sit down and have a conversation with somebody living past, historical, in your life currently, who would you like to sit down with and have a 30, 40 minute conversation with?
So you're going to laugh. It's going to be Steve Irwin.
I love it.
I do too. He's funny. He's passionate about what he does. He was always entertaining. I grew up watching him, mm-hmm. and I would love to just sit down and go, what was going through your mind when you would jump on an alligator or crocodile and ride this or pick up this snake? You know, how do you, he looked at everything with no fear.
Oh,
and that's kind of how I like to look at things, with no fear. Just dive right in. Let's do it.
Oh, I love that one.
Yes.
I didn't see that coming.
I know. No one did. No one does when I say that, but I would love to sit down with Steve Irwin.
I think he was someone, too, that had a really big heart and
yes.
was probably very emotional, because animals are sensitive to that.
Yes.
So he had a very – his positivity was probably also so much kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why he was able to work so well with all
animals,
these animals.
Yes. And he always was smiling, and just – he was calm. And the animals, I think, can just feed off that. And I would – definitely. And he was from Australia. I mean, that's bucket list right there.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Steve Irwin.
Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
About what's going on here in Greenville
yes.
with the housing market, and kind of leaving us with some good tips. I really like what you said about when I asked about what should we expect, like what is the best?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's really good advice
mm-hmm.
of like, you, especially if you're buying a home for the first time, you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And so you might just think it's supposed to be this mm-hmm. much of a slog and it's supposed to be this hard.
Yep.
And I'm supposed to ask a million questions. Mm-hmm. But it's really refreshing to hear you say, no, that like five-star experience should be, we should be ahead of you.
Yes, I should be way ahead of you and have already answered those questions. You should be going, well, I feel like I should be asking you, but you've taken care of all of this.
Yeah, I love that. That was one of my biggest takeaways from today. So thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you for having me.
And we'll have to have you again in a couple of years and talk about what's changed
in Greenville.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
This conversation with Stephanie is just the start of our conversations around housing on this season. I'm deeply interested and concerned about investment firms and hedge funds purchasing single-family homes, but also purchasing and building apartment complexes. There are many veils pulled down in front of what's actually happening and what's behind it. Right off the bat, we know there's not one person or one party or one company to blame, but many failed policies and decisions. And ultimately, we have to acknowledge that it comes down to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." But the more conversations we have around this topic and others like it, whether we have all the facts yet or not, those in power or with the ability to pull the strings will see that we, quote unquote, common folk are awake to the game afoot and will not silently let American dreams like home ownership slip away. Subscribe wherever you listen to Conversation Mill so you don't miss any of the upcoming conversations. And if you are involved in home investment, flips, anything in the home housing market on a local level, or are part of a housing advocacy group where you live and would be interested in being a guest on the show, please email me at chat@conversationmill.com. And as always, thank you for listening to Conversation Mill. Thank you for joining me in conversation. To learn more about the show or to support our efforts to elevate our local economies by advertising or sponsoring the show, please visit conversationmill.com. The business practices discussed on the podcast and the opinions shared by guests and your hosts are for entertainment and educational purposes only and does not constitute professional advice. There are no silver bullets in business or life, and what works in one market may not work in another. Always engage legal or expert advice when making decisions in your business.